You are listening to the Julie Parker Practice Success Podcast, where you discover management insights and strategies for a successful dental practice. There are also interviews with key people in the industry who have advice and services to help you and your team achieve great success. Welcome to this episode of the Julie Parker Practice Success Podcast. And today is going to be the first of numerous appearances by guests from the law firm Burke & Associates Lawyers based here in Victoria in Armidale. And my special guest lawyer from that firm today is George Hanger. Welcome, George.
Hi, Julie. Thanks so much for having me today.
That's my pleasure, and I'm really excited at the prospect of whatever legal dilemma we come up with in the dental industry that I've got a resource to go straight to. So thank you so much for the connection and participation of your law firm.
No, we're really excited about it, Julie. Just a bit of a background on our firm. As you said, I work at Burke & Associates. We're based in Armidale in High Street, and our commercial team led by Megan Warren, I think Megan's going to appear in another episode. We act for a lot of our clients in the medical, health and life sciences industry, which includes a primary group there of dental practice managers and practitioners. So we've had a really interesting 12 to 18 months where there's been a lot of movement. We've had some business sales and purchases. We've had people moving from practices to practices, and we've been really excited to help these clients in such an uncertain time.
It certainly has been an uncertain time, and there's been, I don't think anyone's ever been so involved in all the legal aspects of staff management and compliance as they are at the moment. And that brings us to our topic of today, because there has been changes to it. You're talking about radiation management plans. How has that space changed for dental practices recently?
Yeah, it's really interesting, Julie. And I've first, before I start going into a bit more of the detail, I've got to explain to everyone that what I'm speaking about today isn't formal legal advice. You'll hear lawyers say this before they speak a lot, just giving an information update and having a chat with you. And perhaps just before I get into the specific detail about that, I probably should have mentioned a few more specific things that we do for our dental clients. We act from very front-end, early stages of client activities, and that can be advising new practices about structuring, ownership agreements, helping them with their objectives, what they want to do at the early stages of their journey as a practice, putting in all the mechanisms behind the scenes. So if circumstances arise, they've got the formal documentation to fall back on that guides them through the processes that help resolve certain issues. We always like to ensure disputes are kept to a minimum level or they're resolved at early stages. We also, as I said before, help with business sales and purchases, which are really exciting to deal with. From a purchaser perspective, I think Megan's going to speak on this subject in more detail, but we love helping purchasers take over a new business, feel part of that journey with them and make sure they feel protected. That's our job, helping them feel protected, make sure what they're acquiring is actually what they're intending to acquire. And then we do a lot of work on the practitioner side, assisting them with their contracts. These might be service agreements with practices. And as you're aware, a lot of practicing dentists also have ownership stakes in the practice managing entity. So we help with setting up those agreements between the practice and the practitioner. And then all sorts of tasks from reviewing and preparing privacy policies for websites, consent forms. A bit harder to do. We wouldn't do it with a dentist practice, but we did take a few medical practices online last year during COVID. We're sort of looking at that tech aspect as well, but they're just some of the things that we can assist with, something we enjoy doing.
Wonderful. Well, a future episode, I would love it to be around the employment contracts of dentists, because it used to be really super simple back decades ago when I started in the industry. They kind of came on board as contractors and they got a percentage and that was it. But it was never fully aligned with what was legal either. And so we've moved into that whole, should a dentist be an employee or go on an SFA?
We call them service and license agreements. So they're
okay, service and license agreements. Yeah. And I've just been through this space with a client, and my natural advice as a consultant was to go with the employment side of it, because you want to have this employee dentist wear your uniform and comply by your policies and come to your staff meetings and training sessions. However, it's just not it doesn't seem like it's a win-win scenario for the dentist. And so I would love to have you back on and talk about that specific topic soon, because I've got questions in my brain around
Certainly. It's a topic, and it's an issue that we're constantly advising on. And I think from speaking to Megan, one of my other colleagues, Elizabeth, she's going to be preparing something hopefully she can discuss with you, because it is really important from a practice perspective to make sure you have the right arrangement in place to minimise any risk of an audit from a tax perspective, or the actual practitioner claiming that the relationship is something other than what's recorded in the agreement. So, yeah, it's a really interesting space and really important. Practice managers get their legal advice for that.
For sure. I'm looking forward to that episode. So you really do help dental practices from day dot, and the more advisors, specialist advisors that you have in the process of establishing your own practice, buying a new practice, relocating, the better off that you are. It's just a space that's so complex, and you need to have someone that knows what they're doing in that area. If you're happy to move into the radiation management plan, tell me more about what you've been working on.
Something else I should probably just point out, Julie, before we get into the detail, is that what I'm talking about today is based on the Victorian requirements in relation to radiation management plans and radiation-related licences. So the information that's going to be discussed is Victorian-based. We do act for clients in different states, and if you want further information, it's best to consult the relevant health authority in your state, or contact us if you'd like some more information and we can look into it for you. This arose, Julie, quite recently when we were acting for a client purchasing a dental practice. And as part of that process, Megan will mention this in her segment, but dental practices, if they're operating any radiation equipment or sources, need to have a management license that permits them to conduct whatever activities are specified in that license. So as part of any transfer of a business, that license needs to be transferred to the purchaser. And as part of this transfer, we became aware of a new requirement, and that is the new requirement for a radiation management plan to be submitted to the Department of Health. These plans are not completely new. Previously in medical practices, they're present, but now the Department of Health in Victoria is requiring any organisation who is conducting these type of radiation activities to prepare and submit a radiation plan in three different types of circumstances. One of them being if you're taking over an entity, you know, what I was just talking about, a business purchase. I'll come back to that one. But the first one is what they're trying to do is capture all practices and make sure that everyone has a radiation management plan. And they're doing this by listing three circumstances that you must submit one to the Department of Health. First one is the establishment of a new practice. So anyone starting up a new dental practice has to submit with their application for a management license, a radiation management plan. And that comes in, these forms are done online on the Department of Health website. And like all sort of online applications, you attach this ancillary document as part of your application. The second circumstance is if you're varying your management license. So this would be relevant to a existing practice. Some of the variations might be applicable to practices that are adding more equipment into their practice. They might be relocating premises, anything that you have to vary your license for. And again, this is another form on the Department of Health website. Again, you've got to prepare and attach a radiation management plan. And the third circumstance, which I touched on briefly before, is when there's a transfer of a management license to a new entity. So that's in a sale and purchase of a practice. And that's The application of that's slightly different because the first two, the application is submitted by the holder of the current license. In the third scenario, it's submitted by the transferee. So the purchaser in a business sale and purchase puts in the application, again, attaches the radiation management plan, and has to have the consent of the transferor, being the current holder, and that's submitted as an application. And we were asked to do it even though it wasn't, the date hasn't kicked in, and that was all fine. So it's a regime, as I said before, where VicHealth are looking to slowly make sure that everyone has one of these plans in place that are operating these equipment. So this is from an organisation perspective in relation to management licences. And practitioners will know that that's a separate license from a use license, which is required for the practitioners to hold who are operating the equipment.
Yeah, so first of all, this has all been based around a Victorian practice that you've been working in. Do you know if this is going to be rolled out nationally?
Yeah, Julie, the legislation relating to radiation-related licences and requirements is state-based, so there will be different requirements from state to state around the country. So it's probably best for practices or practitioners interested to have a look at these, to consult with their state-based health authority website or give them a call, or otherwise you can contact us and we can look into it for you.
So the practitioner themselves have to have a radiation license for themselves personally, and the practice needs to have a management license for all radiation equipment within their walls. Outside of those three reasons for developing a radiation management plan, if you've already got the radiation licenses in place and you're just functioning as normal, you haven't done anything new, do you suggest that these practices also get a radiation management plan in place?
A lot of practices may have something similar already in place in their policy and practice manuals. You'll see the radiation management plan mainly is a document to ensure that any activities that are being conducted within the practice are compliant, there's sufficient safety procedures set up for any incidents that occur. I don't want to go into too much detail now because I'll step through briefly what needs to be included or what the Department of Health require to be included. But to have something in place in relation to such an important part of a practice can only be beneficial in relation to health and safety matters. So whilst it's not a requirement if you're just operating at the moment, I mean, it's something you could look at generating if you wanted to submit one to the Department of Health and say, look, we want to have this in place for best practice, you may be able to contact them. They're really helpful, this department, and they know all the information and requirements. I'm sure they'd be happy. I don't want to speak on their behalf, but if you were looking to get one reviewed, they may be able to do that. And if you think you are, there's a chance you might be amending your management license, I mean, that's really the only circumstance in which it will apply to current practices who are not looking to sell, is if they're going to a management license. If you think that's something that's going to happen in the near future, then certainly get on the front foot and look into the preparation of the plan, because you might need assistance from, you might need legal advice, you might need to speak to the Department of Health. There may be a few third parties that you might need to speak to about it.
Fantastic. Good advice. So as of the 6th of September, this change 2021, this change comes into effect. And so if you are a practice potential owner, existing owner, transferring of your license, then this is what you're going to need to do in order to be compliant with your radiation equipment moving forward. So tell us a bit more about the plan itself.
Thanks, Julie. So the plan, as I said before, it sets out primarily safety information for anyone using or working around radiation sources at the practice. So that'd be practitioners, dental assistants in this case. And it's really helpful that the Department of Health have made available on their website a template radiation management plan for dental practices. So you can either use that as your template they do say you can generate your own plan, but it must satisfy all of the information requirements set out in that template. So if I just run through briefly what's contained in there, there's obviously key details in relation to the management license holder. So that'll be the practice, the entity running and owning the practice that holds the license. So pretty easy and standard details there. There are a couple of different individuals required to be listed. One's a radiation safety officer, and that person is basically on record for ensuring that everything is compliant, everything in the radiation management plan is being complied with. So that's a main individual name listed there. And then there are also authorised representatives. You can list more than one person there who the practice authorises to communicate with the Department of Health in relation to any radiation matters. So that's the first part, listing key organisation and people details. It then moves on to look at other information which you must include, which is a list of each site at which the radiation practices will be conducted, and that includes each piece of equipment and including a floor plan of each site with the location of where the equipment will be operating from, and that needs to be identified. So that's something, so it's clear where the equipment is being used at the practice premises. Other requirements include radiation safety training requirements for people using the equipment, but also working around it. So again, dental assistants. And you actually have to list the people using the equipment. So that'll be the practitioners, and that will include reference to their use licenses, but also dental assistants who will be working around or with the equipment. So as you can see so far, just touching on those things, there's quite a bit of specific detail required, which is directly related to the practice itself. So it's important that these things are correct and accurate, because obviously the Department of Health will review this, and it's taken into account as a part of any one of those three circumstances. So they'll assess it. They might come back with requisitions, but so far, it's nothing too onerous on the practice. They should know all this information.
And in regard to the radiation safety requirements, what did you mention before about there was some sort of radiation safety training?
Yeah, it's probably best for practices who are looking at these requirements in relation to training to consult with the appropriate industry-specific professional body. The template does talk about formal qualifications, courses, awareness trainings that can be listed, but for any requirements for people working with the equipment, it's best to consult with the professional organisations that have information on that. The last few things that need to be included, and I recommend, even if you're not, this may not apply to you now, it's still worth having a look at the template document just to look at these requirements. As I said, the Department of Health include a little bit of a summary or comment in relation to each requirement, giving you a bit more information on what needs to be included. Other requirements relate to information on practice procedures. So like I said before, these may already be included in practice policies and manuals, but procedures for acquiring and disposing of radiation sources in accordance with the requirements under the Radiation Act and regulations, how radiation sources and radioactive material will be stored at the premises when not being used, and then procedures specifically relating to what the Department of Health refer to as radiation incidents and what happens in the case of an emergency or one of those incidents arises. There needs to be sort of a clear process in place for the practice to follow. So as I said, there is a template that's provided on the website that you can have a look at, and the document's not too lengthy and you can fill it in online, but if you do have your own plan that you want to use, you can certainly do that and just use the template as a reference point.
And so if someone did, whether they submit through the template or their own management plan, is it something that they need to submit for them to get approval? Will it ever come back to them and say, you haven't covered all the areas we need covered, so go back and try again and then resubmit?
Yeah, that's right. So it gets submitted as a supporting document under the three application types, being the new practice, the variation of license, or a transfer to another entity. As part of all of them, you need to attach it. So if you submit it, your application might come back with some requisitions. One of them may be some more queries in relation to your plan, or if sufficient information hasn't been provided. But as I said, the Department of Health are really helpful. They have a direct line to this department, and you can call up and ask them questions, which is a great resource.
That's great. And is it the current situation that, do you know if the current situation is that the management licenses for X-ray machines that practices currently have, are they renewed annually or every couple of years? Or once you've got it until you've made some sort of variation to it?
That's a great question, Julie. The licenses can be issued for either 1, 2, or 3 years, and that's at the choice of the applicant. So when a practice is submitting their application, but on the Department of Health Victoria website, they get to select the term of the license, and then when it comes up for renewal, you obviously have to pay the relevant fee, but it does not trigger the requirement of submitting a radiation management plan at this stage.
So as we said, as of the 6th of September, if you fall into one of those categories, then certainly get a dental radiation management plan in place. And it might even be a good idea if you're not in one of those categories, because you may be in one of those categories in the future, or they may slightly change the legislation and you all of a sudden find out about it next time you're wanting to renew your radiation license. Would that be your advice, just get this sort of thing done and dusted?
Yeah, that's right. It can take some time to prepare this document, Julie. And yes, you may have this information already at your practice. It may be stored in different practice manuals and policies, so extracting it from different systems takes time. You might have to speak to individual practitioners about their qualifications and things like that. So certainly if you are thinking that you might need to vary your license, thinking of buying a business, it's certainly in the purchase process. It's something to get on the front foot early. You don't want it to delay your settlement and your purchase. So it's not a simple matter of filling out the form online and this is for a transfer into a new entity name. It's not a tick-the-box thing. You actually have to prepare and attach the document and submit it for review. And reviews can take some time. It can take a couple of weeks, or the right information's not provided. That can be extended. So you've got to look at what time constraints you're under, and it's always best to get onto these things earlier than later. And look, if anyone wants more information, you can look on the Department of Health's website, Victoria, or I've actually written a blog on this topic, which will be available on our website, and happy to circulate it directly to anyone that wants to write in and get my email address.
Fantastic. And I'll certainly put links in the show notes about the DHS. And if your blog is online and live, I can make it link straight through to that. I imagine it's part of your Burke and Associates website.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That'd be a great idea.
So moving forward, if people are intrigued to contact your firm for any kind of assistance, what's their next best step?
At Burke and Associates, we pride ourselves on being really approachable. So if you do just want to give us a call for a preliminary chat, please do pick up the phone. Always happy to hear about people's business operations. If you do have a more specific query, obviously we'll have to take some time to look into that and then be formally engaged. But if you do want to call up and have a quick chat, please do. We're normal people. I found one thing with lockdown, Julie, is that one positive, which I always try and draw on positives out of situations that aren't so great, is it's been great to hop on Zoom calls with clients and the other day I was actually on a call with a dentist, a client that I've been working with for some time, and his daughters came in the background and were having a chat to him. And I think those little moments are great for developing a relationship. I started telling him that I've got two younger daughters, and I think even now there's more opportunity to develop that personal connection. I see myself as pretty easygoing. So if you do want to call me up and have a chat, please do. One thing we are doing at the moment, and it's been, I think I said earlier that the last 18 months has been really interesting. There's been movement. We've seen, as I said, sale and purchase of dental practices, practitioners moving from one practice to another. As I said, for our medical practice clients, some going online, looking at virtual health and telehealth. One other, I guess, if we call it a positive of lockdown, is the opportunity for businesses to take a moment to have a bit of a self-review, assessment or audit of their business operations. And one way we're assisting with that is we are offering what we're calling a legal health check to existing clients, new clients. And what that involves is a discussion in via Zoom, 45 minutes to an hour, with one of our commercial teams. So that'll be either myself or Megan or Liz. And we basically just run through a range of questions about your practice, starting from your ownership structure, your contracts with your, if they are independent practitioners, or your employment agreements with your employees, your policy manuals and procedures, your lease of your premises, your licenses, like your management license and things like that. So we'll go through these questions. We then generate a report, the legal health check, as we call it. We'll send that to you with levels of priority for any recommended actions. We know that you can't do everything at once. We'll be upfront about things that we think, look, that's not perfect, but it's fine for operating. This is your priority for now. And then we also include a rough estimate of fees for us to assist you with those different matters. So you'll have that there in front of you. If you then do want to progress and have us assist with some of those different tasks, we can. And you've also just got that on record to look at when you need to. And so that first, I don't want to sound too salesy, Julie, but that first initial conference and preparation of the report is of no charge. So it's a really good opportunity if you do have 45 minutes to spare and have a chat with me or one of our other staff. And you may have nothing that needs work on or minor things, but you do get an independent view from one of our legal practitioners of what you might be able to do to improve your practice. So if anyone does want to participate in that, please contact us. We do have a brochure for it, Julie, which I can give you the link to so you can put it in the presentation notes. It's something we really enjoy doing as well, because ideally we do it in person and come and visit your practice. We always like to visit our clients. Obviously we can't do that at the moment, and Zoom is a pretty convenient and efficient way of doing it. If you can do it in a break, or if you don't have any time during the day, we can always make exceptions and do something after hours. You don't get a lot of opportunities to sit back and do that audit of your business, and there may be things we ask that you don't know the answer to, and that's fine. That's why we're asking the questions. So we found it's been a really beneficial process for the clients that have been involved. If anyone's interested, very happy to lock in a time and have a chat.
Well, that sounds like a fantastic idea. And I tell you what, dental practices know all about doing regular checks on patients, because there are things that a dentist sees in a mouth that the patient simply has no idea about. And that's why regular checkups are important. But the same is true for any part of the business. The dentist knows exactly what to do, and all the clinical staff know exactly what to do in terms of the dental approach. But let's talk about the legal approach to the business as well, and stepping into a space where you have the assistance of an expert looking at what's going on and identifying all the things you just cannot see because you're not sure about it and you're not aware of it. So that is a really tremendous project to take on. And it, as you say, it only takes 45 minutes to an hour to move through that Zoom process, but then you're aware of what needs to have happened. and you might be doing everything beautifully, or you might need to make a couple of additions to make sure that you're fully compliant.
That's right. That's right. And the priority list is really helpful, because we can stagger those deliverables to, so you can manage sort of budgets and costs and things like that. Yeah, we've had really good feedback so far on that, Julie.
Well, I think that's a tremendous offering, and especially if you are in Victoria, because if you have your doors closed due to lockdown, then what better time to start assessing all these other areas of your business to make sure that everything is being ticked.
That's right. Plenty of time.
Well, George, thank you so very much for coming on the podcast. As I say, one of many podcast episodes that's going to include Burke and Associates lawyers. I really do encourage people to take you up on your offer and to go down the path of the radiation management plan, just to get compliant in that area as well, just so that's done. And I look forward to speaking with Megan. I know that she's got a couple of sessions booked in, so we can start talking about practice purchasing and all of the legal ramifications around that as well. But welcome to the podcast with our long-standing relationship. I'm looking forward to many more discussions with you.
Thanks so much, Julie. Yeah, it's been a real pleasure speaking to you. Excited to have the relationship moving forward. And I know Megan and Liz and a few others of our firm are excited about having a chat with you. And I'll make sure, let's include those links in the notes so people can have a read about the radiation management plan requirements, and also put the links into my article and our legal health check offer. But yeah, thanks very much, Julie. I've really enjoyed it.
Fantastic, George. So have I. Listeners, go to the show notes, jump onto those links, take advantage of the legal health checkup. You know, you're encouraging your patients to get their checkups. Now it's your time to get a legal health checkup as well. And I look forward to speaking to you at the next episode. Bye-bye. Hey, if you enjoyed listening to this episode, you should join the club. The club members receive an online lunch and learn every week, where I share insights, systems, and strategies to improve the success of your practice. These lunch and learns could not be easier. They are recording, so you can watch them at a time that suits you. Members also have full access to the library of all of our past topics. It is a powerful and effective way to upskill your team. I hope to see you there.